just arrange my effects. I think most of you probably know that Jess is the eldest of five children. Did you know that?
Yes.
Pretty sure she said that at some point. Four of them are girls, which means it's a very estrogen-heavy house. It goes all the way down to Bella, who, when we met, she was seven. And it was quite an experience going round to dinner for the first time. Because most of them are very chatty. And most of them don't wait for someone else to finish speaking before they start speaking. Most families are like that. There were sometimes, because there were seven of them, three, sometimes maybe even four conversations happening at once. And poor old me, I was trying to listen to all of them. I was trying to follow this conversation and that conversation and listen to what my the mother of my new girlfriend was trying to say to me so I wasn't rude, whilst also showing interest in her children, whilst also trying to eat my dinner, and it was quite exhausting. And to be honest, what ended up happening was that I zoned out of all the words and focused on my food. It's a typical male reaction, I suspect. There's active listening. Active listening is completely different, isn't it? Have you ever done anything on active listening? If you've done courses on pastoral care, you'll know something about it. It involves actively listening to someone, giving them your entire attention. It involves reflecting back to them things that they've said, which means you have to be listening to what they've said. It involves trying to tease out of them the things that they really want to say. Then there's background listening. This is the kind of listening where you might have the radio on whilst you're working and you ignore the inane banter of the DJs or the music. If you're me, it's usually Test Match Special, particularly this time of year, whilst England are currently something like 73 for naught, at least they were before the service. Sometimes makes it difficult to work. Listening is what parables are all about. Let me read you the first part of that passage from The Message. Are you listening? What do you make of this? A farmer planted seed. As he scattered the seed, some of it fell on the road and birds ate it. Some fell on the gravel. It sprouted quickly but didn't put down roots. So when the sun came up, it withered just as quickly. Some fell in the weeds, and as it came up, it was strangled by the weeds. Some fell on good earth and produced a harvest beyond the farmer's wildest dreams. Are you listening to this?
Yeah.
Thank you. Are you really listening?
Yeah.
That's what it says. When Jesus explains to his disciples why he teaches in parables, he quotes Isaiah's prophecy of God lamenting the spiritual dullness of his people. Might read that again out of this, actually. Here's what it says. Your ears are open, but you don't hear a thing. Your eyes are awake, but you don't see a thing. The people are blockheads. That's what it says. They stick their fingers in their ears so they won't have to listen. They screw their eyes shut so they won't have to look, so they don't have to deal with me face to face and let me heal them. But you have God-blessed eyes, eyes that see, and God-blessed ears, ears that hear. See, it is possible to hear without listening, to let words wash over you. They float in this ear, and then they float out of that ear. Real listening, really listening, means the words go deep, deep into our hearts. This kind of deep listening is like a seed planted in good soil, which has found a way to grow, the space to grow, the nutrients it needs to grow and to put down roots to make it big and strong. Now, you may know this famous parable as the parable of the sower. Certainly one of, if not the best known of all Jesus' parables. I do wonder why he calls it the parable of the sower, because it's not really about the sower, it's actually about the soil. See, the sower, which is God, is the same in all four cases. The seed, the word of God, is the same in all four cases. What's different is the soil. The soil is what's different. And that's the human heart. Different soils, different hearts produce different results. The first soil isn't really soil at all, is it? But a path. And the seed falls on the path and the birds come and they eat it up. It's like when you go on holiday to the seaside and the seagulls are there waiting to eat your chips. Anyone had a chip stolen by a seagull? Some of you? It's not very nice, is it? I once saw a seagull steal an ice cream from a small child. The seed wasn't able to take root. It was taken away. And Jesus explains to his disciples later that the birds stand for the devil, who comes and snatches away what was sown in the person's heart. We must beware of having a heart that is hardened to God, but available to the devil. Paul gives an example of such a person. Alexander, the metal worker, did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. It might sound harsh, over the top, but Jesus tells us the danger is real of having a heart that is hardened to God but available to Satan. We need to take this seriously. So, are you listening?
Yeah.
Really listening? Second, as the farmer sowed the seed, some of it fell in the gravel. It sprouted quickly but didn't put down roots. So when the sun came up, it withered just as quickly. As Jesus explains here, he's describing someone who receives the word of God with great joy. Shallow soil heats up fast. So even a tiny bit of sun will heat it up and it can sprout up quickly and early. In the same way, people can respond eagerly to the truth, to the word of God. But then they respond in a shallow way. It never goes any deeper. They don't grow in understanding. They don't form the godly character of a disciple. It's not enough to stay up here. Real listening means it comes down here. See, without these deeper roots, when troubles come, these people last only a short time. We must beware of having a heart that is open to superficial or emotional influences, but closed to that deeper understanding of the kingdom. Such a heart readily turns from God when troubles arise. Paul talks about one of those as well. At my first offence, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. Soon as trouble came, everyone deserted Paul. That's what this kind of heart does. See, receiving the word of God with joy is a good thing. I preached all summer about it. But if we expect our Christian journey to be all joy and no struggle, if we imagine our life will be all rosy and happy as a Christian, as soon as the inevitable troubles come, that shallow faith will fall away. Third, Jesus says that other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Now, I'm not a very good gardener, as I've told you all before. I don't really know the difference between a weed and a flower until the weeds are about this high. And then they need chopping down with a saw because the trunk is so thick, which is what I was doing yesterday. The thorns stand for the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, Jesus says. And they choke the word. They make it unfruitful. Friends, how easy it is to be seduced by the world. It's so enticing. It's so immediate that sometimes it's hard not to be so wrapped up in it that we forget all about God. But wealth, as tempting as it is deceitful. It pretends to offer us fulfillment. It pretends to offer us happiness. If only we had a bit more, then we'd be happy. But as I said last week, the problem with money is that more is not the same as enough. Money tricks us into wanting more, ever and always more. You can do some really nice things, can't you, with money? Oh, if I won the lottery, I'd be so good with it. Distracts us from what really matters. A heart that is easily attracted to worldly stature and wealth is a heart that is soon distracted from the kingdom message. It's one of those as well. Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me. Jesus is not making this up. This is how different people respond to the same word sown by the same Lord. So Jesus says, are you listening? Really listening? Because some seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. This, Jesus says, is the person who hears the word and understands it. See, the word of God, sown by God, will produce fruit when it lands in good soil. Might take a while, but it will produce fruit. And that's Jesus' point. Whether it produces loads of fruit, quite a lot of fruit, or just a bit of fruit, doesn't matter. The point is that it produces fruit, the fruit of discipleship. When we hear, when we really hear the word of God and it goes deep into our hearts, it begins to affect how we behave. It changes us. It makes us more like Jesus. It takes time. It takes effort. Lots of effort. Mature discipleship does not happen overnight, since godliness, like fruit bearing, requires a growing season. It's hard to explain how it works. If you remember from the summer when we looked at Philippians, Paul says these words in Philippians chapter 2, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and act in order to fulfill his good purpose. If you remember, I said it's like a partnership. God at work in us, as we work out our salvation. We work out as God works in. That is how we grow a disciple. It isn't magic, unfortunately. I do like a bit of magic. Maybe one day I'll do a magic trick in a sermon. And it isn't as if we can do it in our own strength. We work out as God works in, working together to grow a wholehearted disciple. Now, the main focus of this parable is to explain the different ways that different people react to the same gospel. Why some people hear the good news and instead of saying, wow, that's fantastic, it has little or no effect. Something that I find really hard. Why there are others who start so well but then drift away. Others, where the roots grow deep. I don't know where you are in any of that. Whether you feel like there are deep roots in your faith, or whether you need to grow some roots. Whether you feel like you've drifted away, that the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth have tempted you away from the gospel. Come back. This is not a once for all. You're not always a stony path. You're not always a gravel. You can grow good soil. Jesus can change your heart. See, this drives me to my knees. It drives me to pray that God would open the hearts of those who don't believe, that he would create some good soil in them so that when the seed is planted, it grows. The greatest miracle of all is the one where God opens someone's heart to the gospel. Do you believe that? I do. We can see wonderful healing miracles. Jesus did all sorts of things, and since then all kinds of Christians have done all sorts of miracles in Jesus' name. But the greatest miracle that I pray has happened in all your hearts as well as mine is the one where God opens it to his truth. That's how we should pray for those who don't know God. But the secondary focus of the parable is to remind us of how important it is to have that open and available heart ourselves. To sort of till that soil every now and then, if you like, to keep it good so that the seed can grow. We need to be receptive, but receptive to God. We need to keep our hearts pointing in the right direction. And so I'd like us to pray in two ways. Not just this week, but every day. If you don't know what to pray, some people tell me that, they don't know what to say when they pray, so they don't. It's not very complicated, this. Pray that God would open the hearts of those who don't yet know him. If you know someone that you've been praying for a long time, God bless you. It is really hard to keep praying that prayer for someone that we love. But keep praying it. That God would open their heart. It takes a miracle. And second, pray for ourselves. That we might be good soil. Pray for yourself. Say, God, help me to grow. Remember those two things? Open the hearts of those who don't know Jesus and help me to grow. So I ask you all this week, please spend some time praying those two things. Let's really listen to Jesus' words this morning. There's a warning, but also an encouragement that the seed does grow. Let's let that go deep into our hearts and start to change us. Amen.